Hello, everyone. This is Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse, exposing medical crime one misdiagnosis at a time. Today, we're going to talk about reverse transcriptase and retrovirus and vaccines. And I'm so excited to have the legendary Dr. Kenneth Stoller on the show today. And he is the author of an amazing book called Incurable Me. Check it out on Amazon. Welcome, Dr. Stoller.
Thanks.
So let's get right into it. I want to learn about reverse transcriptase and retrovirus. This is like a deeper, more advanced topic that I think goes beyond the ingredients in the vaccine. So what comes to mind when I say those two things?
Retrovirus and reverse transcriptase?
Yes.
Well, retroviruses are RNA viruses, as opposed to DNA viruses like a herpes virus. HIV is an RNA virus. And they require reverse transcriptase to deliver their message into the DNA of our cells and get those and co-opt those cells to do what they want to do, which is create more of themselves. So did that answer your question?
So does it insert, I wrote all that down, does it insert into the DNA, insert itself?
It's the reverse transcriptase inserts DNA sequences. In other words, instead of writing the DNA, writing a messenger, it's where the messenger actually rewrites the DNA.
Oh my gosh.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So the messenger rewrites, I got to write this down. It rewrites the DNA sequence.
Right. So now the cell is doing what the virus wanted it to do.
Okay. So what I try to teach people is it's like downloading a corrupted file. Like if I downloaded malware, my operating system, my DNA would be different, right?
Right, it's exactly what it is. It's the archetypical virus. It gets into your CPU and actually starts changing the coding in your CPU.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what vaccines have retrovirus?
I don't have the full list, but most of them, and it's not like they test for them. Usually find out about them surreptitiously, or if an independent group like the Covelva group in Italy looks to see what's actually in these vaccines, they find these retroviruses. Now the FDA does know about the retroviruses. They have proposed doing research on the long-term consequences of these silent viruses, because if you happen to be lucky enough and get a retrovirus that's an oncogenic retrovirus, in other words, a virus that will cause cancer in animals, it's usually an animal retrovirus, and that information gets encoded into your DNA, you don't know if 10, 20, 30, or 40 years later that's going to cause cancer.
All right, so let me stop you right there then. What I was pointing out in the insert, because people spend so much time debating about the ingredients, I said the number one thing you need to know about the vaccine is that it's not tested for mutagenicity. It's not tested for carcinogenicity. So that's cancer. So we ask, I always tell everyone, cancer and autoimmune disease is caused by vaccines, because all vaccinations are genetically modified. They're GMO, and by the very mechanism of GMO, it is cancer. So in the case of the retrovirus, how do we know that this is not a mutated thing? So they're like, well, they're giving us the flu vaccine this year. Well, this is a mutated strain. And so wild virus, wild measles, is different from that mutated strain. You can't have immunity from a GMO virus. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, you're right in the sense if you're vaccinating for one organism, but that's not the organism that's circulating, obviously the potential for that vaccine to work drops to near zero. And a lot of the infectious diseases have evolved beyond what the vaccine could do for them. So for example, with the pertussis vaccine, 90% of the pertussis organisms, not that that's a virus, that's a bacteria, have evolved to get around the vaccine.
So, okay, so that's the reverse, that's reverse transcriptase.
Well, no, I was just using that as an example.
No, the first one, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know, so let's take the measles virus, the measles infection that probably caused the problem in Samoa was a genotype D, probably D8. And essentially, these different genotypes of measles have been created because of the evolutionary pressure put on that life form by the vaccines. So in a sense, the vaccines are causing these viruses to evolve because life will find a way, as they like to say in Jurassic Park. So if you close one door, it will try to open another door.
So yeah, that's been the difficult part. So when I say, people will say, well, what is it exactly that causes cancer in the vaccine? And so this is why I'm asking you about reverse transcriptase. This is why I'm asking about the retrovirus, because in true informed consent, do we really understand what we're injecting? And you're holding the loaded gun, nurses and pharmacists especially, are we really understanding the mechanism of the vaccine? So this is, you know, the more advanced topic.
Most people don't even understand what's in the vaccine or how they work.
Right. So to educate the healthcare professionals, the nurses, the doctors, the pharmacists, you know, we have to know the mechanism. It's important. So tell me about retrovirus then.
Well, I mean, essentially retrovirus is, like I said, it is a special type of virus. It's not a DNA virus like herpes. It's like an HIV virus, which is an RNA virus.
So wait a minute, I got it mixed up. I'm sorry. So the first one, you went over that. Retrovirus, the RNA thing, right?
Right.
So that's not the same as reverse transcriptase.
Now, reverse transcriptase is an enzyme that allows the RNA message to be incorporated into our DNA of our cells, into the genome of the cell.
Wow. I mean, so basically, it's just malware. I mean, this is why I'm just so, like, I don't know, beyond frustrated. So in the movie Vaxxed, the CDC has been exposed for the highest level of corruption. I can't comprehend how today we're supposed to continue educating the public and back ourselves by a corrupt organization. So, like, that's why I removed myself from nursing. I cannot be a part of that. So, you know, where are we in this whole battle?
Well, we would be much further along if public health officials had come clean about the contaminated polio virus. They gave the SV40 virus.
Right.
Simian virus 40 to over a million people. And now
right,
we're...
It
was in both the Sabin and the Salk vaccine.
That was the 2015 CDC admission that 98 million Americans were given that. Now, is that, and like I said in one of my videos, we don't know. I feel like we don't know, is it from the monkey kidney? Did they add it in? I mean, you know, how did it get there?
Oh, essentially the making of vaccines is very archaic technology. It's kind of crude. You know, it sucks in all kinds of stuff that's in the cell. When they're growing those cells when they're growing the virus on the cells, it sucks in everything that's there. And if there's retrovirus, it sucks those in too.
So then mad cow disease, like, some of the, you know, the troops would come home with brain-eating parasites. I actually had a client, or just a friend of mine, he came forward and he was like, well, the government knew that there was brain-eating parasites, and they said they were drinking out of the Euphrates. But now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, if they were given bovine serum through a vaccine, prions are brain-eating organisms, how are we supposed to be sure that we're going to inject blood or albumin from another species and then there's no, you know, infectious organisms in there?
Well, let me correct you a little. Prions exist in the human body. And prions are not infectious agents. What happened with mad cow disease was they painted this pesticide onto the non-organic herds. And it caused a substitution in the prion the copper in the prion was replaced with manganese. And that turned the prion into something it normally isn't, a very destructive protein. So that's really what mad cow disease was. And the origins of mad cow disease have been obscured because the government ordered these pesticides to be painted on the cattle. So they gave the order, they're responsible, so they had to obscure or obfuscate what really happened with the mad cow disease situation.
But all right.
It was a pesticide turning prions, which are normal parts of the mammalian body, into something, in a sense, biologically evil.
Right. Well, this was a testimony from a gentleman that had them. Somehow they figured out that they had this infection going on in their brain. And it was just a unique case. But if we go back to the Corvelva report, Corvelva.it, that's the Italian institution that did the entire genome sequence. What I remember about that report was it specifically said there was insertions, deletions, and translocations, chromosomal. So that male aborted fetal lung tissue is not only just that they've actually mutated it, that it's not normal genome.
Right. I mean, there's essentially we're using a technology that's very complicated, and understanding all the nuances of it is very advanced. But we're like 4-year-olds. Like, if we don't know something, there has never been an accountability or a understanding of the full extent of what the SV40 virus did. I mean, it's now found in lots of different types of cancers. And of course the childhood cancer rate, you know, went way up after everyone got the SV40 virus. And it's called SV40 because it was the 40th viral contaminant that they found in the polio vaccine. And I think they stopped counting after that one.
Okay, so some people will say, well, you know, they don't put the SV40 in that particular vaccine. But what I try to inform people is MRC5 or WI38, there's other code names that you need to know. So can we talk a little bit about the MRC5 and the WI, the WinStar Institute 38?
You mean the fetal cell lines?
The fetal cell lines.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to talk about?
Well, so that was the thing. So they took SV40 out, or now some of the vaccines will say, well, without albumin, you know, but they'll put something different like MRC5.
Well, MRC5 is just the cell line, okay? The question is, are you getting fragments of someone else's DNA in the vaccine? And if the vaccine has reverse transcriptase in it, it's possible that this other person's DNA can get written into your DNA.
That's exactly what I've been trying to say. So that genetic modification, you know, this GMO is not a benign thing. So, you know, I say you don't want to eat GMO. Nobody wants to buy it. But then how come it's okay to inject it? And nobody's come forward to challenge me yet when I said all vaccines are GMO, because they are.
Oh, yeah, clearly. They're the poster product of genetically modified organisms. So It's just that if we're not looking at carcinogenicity or mutagenicity or teratogenicity, yet you're giving something that has the ability to alter our genome, our DNA, obviously the risk down the line is cancer.
I got a question for you. Are you wearing counterfeit jeans?
No, I'm wearing 5'11", you know, EMS pants.
No, that was my joke, that people have counterfeit DNA, so they're wearing counterfeit jeans.
Oh. So, they're not looking for these things, and they don't want to look for them because they know what the SV40 virus did. It is considered a potential catalyst for cancer because it's found in so many different human cancers.
Right. So I'm seeing in the population a lot of autoimmune disease. And let's say you have a girl that's 26, or, you know, she's diagnosed with juvenile arthritis, or, you know, the Hashimoto's. And I asked you, what is it about the autoimmune patients and the thyroid being attacked? And you told me that the proteins in the vaccine are similar to the proteins in the thyroid, because, I mean, this is coming from another human's albumin. That's blood that they take from another human, and that protein. And I want to talk about that reaction that happens, not always right now, but sometimes later.
Well, so, you know, it's about what's called molecular mimicry, that there are things in the vaccine, proteins, whatever, that very closely resemble pieces and parts of our own body. So if you induce an immunological reaction to a protein that's almost identical to a protein in your own body, your body doesn't know not to attack the similar protein that's supposed to be there.
Right. So then the whole adjuvant thing, I hear people using the term so casually, like the adjuvant, you know, the adjuvanted vaccination. And then I say, the adjuvant is aluminum. So if you introduce shrapnel into the bloodstream with that albumin, the body now says, hey, albumin, I don't like you. And then the heavy metal part, the shrapnel, ends up in the gut lining. It goes all over different places. It's not like it just disappears.
And mercury is an adjuvant too. So, you know, what's happening, if you just inject the pieces and parts of the virus that you want to create the vaccine for without the adjuvant, the immune system goes, I'm not interested. Okay. But if you inject something that upsets the immune system along with the pieces and parts of the infectious disease agent you're interested in, then you get an immune response because your immune system's attracted to it because of, let's say, the aluminum in this case.
Right. So there was one other thing about that I was going to talk about. So then there's the autoimmune part, and then there's the adjuvant, the albumin. So the body recognizes that and starts to attack. Wait a minute. It was lost my train of thought. So is it the metal? Hold on. The mimicry. It was something about autoimmune, and I'm trying to remember my question. Okay, so the mercury, and then the aluminum, and then it goes to the brain. So, flicking on cancer genes. So the oncogenic portion of it, they say immortalized cell line or continuous cell line. That in the language is telling you that it is a cancer cell line, right? So then wouldn't it flick on our cancer genes?
Not necessarily. The problem is they don't know. Okay. And shouldn't you know before you do this? I would think so.
Yeah. And that's the whole informed consent thing. So now
you can't obtain informed consent if you don't have enough information to inform somebody.
That's what I've been saying all along. And I'm like, okay, so, Dr. Michael Dim, he's the holistic veterinarian from Florida. He contacted me, and he confirmed that the bovine serum, the cow blood in the vaccines, cause autoimmune in the pet. So he would say the cats in particular would get gum disease, autoimmune disease in the gums. And I said, actually, it would be autoimmune disease in the whole body, right? Like even the inside of the vessels. And he says, yes. So then you have the sclerosing of the vessels, the body attacking itself. And what's the difference in human, you know, human vaccines and animal vaccines work the same way. So if they get autoimmune disease and cancer, of course we would.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, if you look at the package insert for the Gardasil vaccine, it will say, comes right out and say, you know, 1 in 40 girls will develop a chronic autoimmune disease.
This is terrible. Okay, so shingles. I saw the literature that GlaxoSmithKline said about the shingles vaccine lately. They said 99% of the people have the dormant virus lying in their body. So if you're going to vaccinate me for something I already have, wouldn't that be like waking a sleeping bear? Because like I read the literature. I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a very myopic way of dealing with infectious disease. The immune system probably has several different components to it. The antibody, the creation of antibodies is just one of those seven components. And so there's more to fighting infectious disease than just having, you know, high antibody levels to something. And then you have to demonstrate, of course, that they work. But that, you know, that really just means that they produce antibodies. In other words, there's research efficacy, the vaccine produces antibodies. And then there's clinical efficacy, those antibodies end up doing something useful in fighting the infectious disease. So let's for example, look at what happened in the Philippines with the dengue fever vaccine. The instructions for giving that vaccine were do not give it to a dengue fever naive individual, someone who has never had dengue fever. Only give it to someone who's already had dengue fever. Because if you give that vaccine to somebody who's never had dengue fever, and then they get dengue fever from a mosquito, the virus, they will have a much more serious life-threatening case of that illness. But that means you'd have to screen the population. Do you have antibodies already to dengue fever? And if you do, you can get the vaccine. If you don't, you're not supposed to get the vaccine. But they didn't do that. They just gave it to everybody. And that's just an example of, you know, the one size fits all. Just give it, never mind what the precautions are. We're just going to give it to everybody. And you saw what happened.
Well,
lots of morbidity and mortality.
The whole thing is corrupt to me. And this is 2019. There's two documentaries that have gone around the world.
2020.
Two documentaries that have gone around the world, testimonies, whistleblowers, exposing the CDC, exposing the FDA. You know, as a nurse, I can't sit here and say that these things are good. I'm not going to push the pill cart. So it's like, we have to look at the whole structure, and people are sitting at the border and they're protesting about the border and this and that. We need people protesting in front of the CDC. We need people standing up and have unity in our community, because our doctors are under attack right now. The truth is out about vaccines. So it's like, how are we going to rise above this corruption, you know, in this together? If I'm supposed to be an educator, I have to follow the doctors that I believe are speaking the truth. And that's doctors like you. So it's like, I have to educate, but we need to all stand together on this. And it's just so frustrating.
No, it is very frustrating, because the very agencies that are supposed to be regulating and protecting us they've been captured.
Yeah, and this is what I want everyone to know. So Dr. Stoller, tell us how we can get in touch with you if you know, there's moms and families out there that you want to talk to someone who really knows the truth about autoimmune disease and cancer, and also Lyme disease. How can we get in touch with you?
Well, my practice website is hbotsr.com.
All right.
H is in Henry, B is in boy, O is in Oscar, T is in Tom, S is in Sam, R as in rose.com.
All right. So just leave a contact submission there.
Sure.
Good. Awesome. All right, guys, well, we're going to wrap it up. Dr. Stoller, I thank you so much. Everyone, I'm Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse, signing off. If you want to talk to Dr. Stoller, also, there's a really cool YouTube video. It was Vaccines Cause Autism. You can look that one up on YouTube, and I'll put the link below. Signing off for now. Thank you, Dr. Stoller. Let's see.